You are listening to Thought and Leaders.
This is London Calling.
Hello and welcome again to another Thought and Leaders. As you know, I scour this amazing, beautiful, elegant planet of ours to find the most interesting, intriguing people out there who have got a narrative that really resonates with people. Now, today I am joined by an amazing gentleman called Brad Yates, and he's in Sacramento, in California. Hello, Brad.
Hey, how are you, Jonathan?
Absolutely tip-top and all that sort of ideas we say over here in the UK. I wanted to get you on the show, Brad, because you do something, or you're involved, I would say, with something which I never had heard of before. And being a Brit, I'm a very cynical kind of a person. And so when I was first told about what you do, I thought, okay.
So I tap on my face for a living. quite simply, it's a process called emotional freedom techniques, short EFT, and a lot of us just call it tapping. And it literally is a process of tapping with our fingertips on key points, primarily on the face and torso.
Right.
And I know that for those of you who are not familiar with it, it sounds very strange.
Yeah.
But there's a good reason why we do it.
Okay. Well, let's start at the beginning then. How did you come across all of this?
Yeah. So I started out as an actor. And I actually studied acting in London. That's why I was living there for a while.
Wow.
And had toured the world doing theater and decided it was time to go to Hollywood to become a movie star. Hmm. And while I was there, I met a woman, fell in love, and got married. And when our first child was on the way, I thought, you know, I should probably have a backup career.
Right.
So I trained to become a hypnotherapist because I'd always been fascinated by the power of the mind.
Right.
And started doing that. And after a couple of years, when our second child was on the way, I realized that as much as I loved acting, doing personal development work was really my calling. This was really where I felt the most fulfilled. And so left Los Angeles, and through some other hypnotherapists, I heard about this tapping stuff. And there was this conference on energy psychology going on in Las Vegas. And I thought, oh, okay, I'll go check that out. Mm. And went to this one-day training in this tapping work with the founder, Gary Craig, and was fascinated by it, particularly when he had us tapping on chocolate cravings.
Right.
Gave everybody a piece of chocolate and said, on a scale of 0 to 10, how much do you want this?
Yeah.
And I was a bit of a chocoholic time, and I'm like, oh, 8, 9.
Yeah.
And after a couple of moments of tapping, I couldn't eat the chocolate.
Really?
And I didn't eat chocolate for 2 years after that. Now, I don't anyone worry, I recovered.
Thank goodness for that. Hershey's would be delighted. Yeah, go on.
But, no, Cadbury, please.
Just try to extend hands across the pond and that. Yeah, go on. Yeah. So I have watched Gary Craig, who founded this, and he claims that it can help people in sports, in this, in that. Well, this thing can really help all these people with all these things, and it's just tapping.
Right. And it starts to sound like a panacea, and that understandably gives people pause. It's like, wait a minute, you're tapping on your face and it can help in all these different areas. And the catchphrase that he gave it is, try it on everything. And originally it was based on acupuncture. So the tapping is, we're tapping on these key points that have been used in Chinese medicine for thousands of years. But if you thought of tapping as nothing more than stress relief, which is what its primary benefit is, then you can see why it can be so beneficial in so many areas, because the things that limit our health, wealth, happiness, success, and all of this stuff is we have old beliefs about what it's safe for us to have and what we shouldn't have. And so when we start to go outside the boundaries of what feels safe, we have a stress response and we stop ourselves. So by tapping on these points, we lower the stress response and we have greater freedom, this emotional freedom, to now make different choices and take different actions.
I suffer from anxiety. And I found when I was tapping, it disrupted my negative thoughts, if you wish. And it kind of took my mind off it. Is it just a diversion technique?
And a lot of people say that. And some people say, well, you just distracted me from the problem. And I'll say, but we've talked about nothing but your problem for the past 5 minutes. So
that is true. Yeah.
It's not uncommon for people to say it's a distraction. Obviously, we can distract ourselves. And that's why the speaking component of tapping can be so beneficial.
Yeah.
Because if we were just tapping without saying anything, then yes, maybe it's possible that something else takes our mind away from whatever's bothering us. But we're constantly talking about what the issue is to focus in on where those thoughts are that are causing that stress response. For instance, in anxiety, what are those beliefs and memories that are going on constantly for some of us that lead us to be afraid? Mm. So we focus on that. And with the tapping, we're short-circuiting that so that we can see things differently and recognize, that isn't a real threat to me. I'm not in as much danger as I thought I was.
You said that you studied hypnotism or mesmerism. Would that not work to hypnotize someone without the tapping?
It's also a very effective modality. I love doing it. I still do that as part of my sessions and my workshops. What I really like about tapping is that the person is doing it for themselves.
Yeah.
So I can teach you tapping, and then you, wherever you go, you've got your fingertips there. At some point, I like to believe we're going to get to a place where tapping is so popular that you could be standing anywhere and be tapping and nobody would blink. Mm-hmm. So it's very self-empowering.
Yeah, it is self-empowering. Have you come across any other technique? Would yoga do it?
Yoga is a very effective modality for healing. Again, hard to do while you're driving.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are many different modalities. I make no claims that EFT is the one and only.
Absolutely.
It's the modality that I find I like to work with most, especially because when I'm doing the tapping, it's kind of an intuitive process for me. And I like to explore through the words what might be going on underneath the uncomfortable feeling that someone is experiencing.
Uh-huh.
So I find that the tapping is providing this physical component to the healing work to lower the stress. While we do that, there are other techniques for doing that. I just find EFT the easiest way to do it. And more personal development experts are incorporating tapping into their work. I hear all the time from therapists who are incorporating it. It's always very flattering to me when doctors and therapists say, I send my clients to your videos for homework.
Wow, that is amazing. That really is amazing. I mean, talking about therapy and psychotherapy, that with psychotherapy, it's a delicate science. You're trying to find out what the actual root is of something to explore that, but gently does it. With tapping, you say, this is what is bothering me. And on a scale of 1 to 10 or whatever it might be, this is how much it is bothering me. Would that not exacerbate something? Look at my open wound. I'm recognizing it. Through recognizing it, I'm going to deal with it. Is it like someone who's scared of spiders and telling them to hold a spider?
Right. There is an element of exposure therapy to this because that's how we deal with an issue is by facing it, because what we resist persists. And when we do EFT, for a lot of people who are new to it, and we start off by saying, even though I have this fear of spiders or whatever the issue is, and some people say, oh my goodness, no, you can't talk about the problem. We have to focus on the positive thinking all the time. Yeah. And I'll say, okay, if your dog poops on your carpet, are you going to say, I'm only going to look at where my carpet is clean?
Right.
Huh. You're going to step in it and spread it around. You have to deal with it. So rather than just sitting there and going, oh, there's poop on my carpet, we're just focusing, there it is, I'm going to clean it up. And then once it's clean, I have the freedom to move around my living room. And with the tapping, we're down-regulating that stress response. So instead of when we're talking about our issue in therapy and getting triggered and being very emotional, we're calming down that emotion so that it makes it safer to look at this stuff. It's, you know, imagine putting on a hazmat suit so you can go into a room where there's toxic stuff around.
If someone is depressed, and then you say to the person, I want you to acknowledge how down you're feeling. Is that like taking a spotlight and shining it right in their eyes and say, can you see it? Have you seen it yet? I mean, you tell me you're down, but how down are you?
So instead of a hazmat suit, think of EFT as sunglasses that you put on the person when you put that spotlight on.
Right. So that
it's like, oh, I can look at this and I'm not so uncomfortable and I can figure out. Now, obviously, there are places we shouldn't go by ourselves and it's a good idea to work with a trained therapist.
Yeah.
Because EFT can be so effective, I know that there are people out there who have, you know, learned it. Maybe they've just watched one tapping video and said, wow, this is amazing. I could go out and do this with people. I can cure cancer. Huh. And they don't understand what's called scope of practice.
Right, right.
And I know of people who are out there.
One of these videos that I saw, Brad, which actually bothered me, was a guy who was saying that he had MS and he did this tapping. And the MS went, and that really bothers me. I mean, my sister unfortunately died with MS. And I remember people were saying to my mum at the time when she was alive, try this, try that. And of course, as a parent, you'll try anything.
Right.
I don't know. You know, when they start saying it will cure MS, then I really do get worried.
Responsible practitioners will avoid the word cure. It can help with so many things. I have worked with folks with physical issues, and I'll say, look, I can't make any claims.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor. I did play one on TV while I was an actor, but I will say, look, we will see what we can do here. There have definitely been times where the tapping has dramatically lowered physical pain, especially when you consider that stress either causes or worsens most, if not all, of the issues that bother us.
Cool.
So a huge part of physical pain is stress. So as we lower that stress, we're going to experience less pain. Now, with certain illnesses, I might say, look, I'm not going to make any claims that the tapping is going to cure this. However, I believe it can help you mitigate a lot of the emotional stuff that goes on, the fear, the anger, the guilt that a lot of people feel about how they're incapacitated and not able to meet other people's expectations and a lot of that stuff. And I'll say, hey, all that energy could be going into your physical healing. So let's take some of this stuff off of your plate. And there are people who have experienced what they might call miraculous healing through tapping. And again, you know, let me say that with air quotes, because I'm not going to make any claims about that. However, remarkable things do sometimes happen. And I totally understand the enthusiasm that people who experience that feel and now think, oh, you know, I've learned to fly and now I'm going to bring everybody over to the edge of the roof and say, hey, we're all going to fly together.
Right.
It's like, Please be responsible with this. And that's why in all of my videos, I start by saying, you must take full responsibility for your own well-being. And look, if this is a matter of we want to clean up the room and you've been sweeping dirt under the rug, hey, let's get to it. Let's clean it up. If you think that you've got barrels of toxic waste under your rug, I'm going to recommend that you talk to a professional. Yeah, someone who can guide you through the process and be there for you when stuff comes up.
It's about a rhythm, isn't it? You are feeling literally the rhythm on your top of your head and eyes. We'll talk about that all in a second, but you're actually feeling the rhythm. Do you think that the rhythm is really very important? In all types of cultures, you have this thing about the drum, the rhythm, and people get carried away by that rhythm, don't they?
There is something very core to us as human beings that respond to music and rhythm. And I've sometimes said, I don't know what the the differences between the value of the words and the value of the tapping. And it may just be that the tapping provides this rhythm for the song that is the tapping round. Hmm. But there is something that's very visceral about it. And that's one of the key things, is because our emotions are visceral things. They're called feelings because we feel them.
Yeah.
They're not thinkings.
Because what you're saying, Brad, to people is to change the pattern of thinking, isn't it?
Yes.
I recognize this pattern. It's time that I was empowered to break that pattern.
Right. Because you have certain experiences that you've had that create, to go along with this idea of the rhythm, that may create a very discordant rhythm, a very erratic rhythm that's uncomfortable. Mm. So if I was bitten by a dog as a child, then I have this erratic rhythm about dogs. And so every time I see a dog, I have then experienced this erratic rhythm in my energy system. Mm. And with the tapping, we're able to change that and smooth that out. Okay, it was that circumstance with that dog. Not all dogs are going to bite me. And I have resources now that I didn't have as a child, so I don't need to go into that same panic.
It's not the dog. It's about the response to the dog.
That's the one of the key teachings from all the great Stoic teachers back in Roman philosophers, is it's not what happens to us. It is our thoughts about what happens to us.
But if what happened to you was so traumatizing, it could be a sexual abuse. It could be all sorts of things. You're never going to take that away.
It's not about erasing the memory. It's taking the charge off the memory.
Yeah.
So when an event happens, it's not a set level of trauma. So sexual abuse is bad. Let's not – no, there's no question about that. I'm not.
Well, I think we can agree with that. Okay,
but, yeah. So we can all agree on that. But the extent to how traumatizing it is not a set thing. It will be more traumatizing for one person than for another person.
Right.
And the beliefs that come from that may be different. So one person may say, wow, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and this person was really awful to me, and that person's really sick. Another person may say, I guess that's what I deserve. I'm a bad person who deserves that kind of thing, which is a much more upsetting feeling. You know, so you look at accidents, when accidents happen. Yeah. So if someone sees a horrible accident happen and sees somebody seriously injured, it can be traumatizing to see that. But then you have a trained firefighter arrives on the scene. They don't have, because of their training and their background and their emotional resources, that's not traumatic for them.
Right.
They don't enjoy it, hopefully. So the events themselves don't have a set amount of trauma associated with them. The trauma comes from our thoughts and beliefs. Now, when there's a physical thing that happens, you know, impact on a body is going to have a certain thing. If two people fall off a building, hitting the ground is going to have the same response, no matter what your emotional programming is.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
However, there may be beliefs in our body mind about healing, so that one person will heal much more quickly than another person.
It's how different people, their expectations from the event. With psychotherapy, you know, you say it can take 6 months. People, you know, Woody Allen famously was in therapy for most of his life. So with this approach, it's about 10 minutes or something like that. Is it like you have to do it every day? I mean, how long until it works?
And that's the question that comes up all the time, and that's the million-dollar question, is because tapping at different times has been so quick. So when Roger Callahan first discovered tapping, he was working with a woman with a lifelong water phobia, and in a matter of moments, her lifelong water phobia was gone. Mm. And so when people hear this, what we call one-minute wonders, people think, well, if it takes 5 minutes for me to tap and get the result, then it's not working.
Got it.
And some issues can take years. You know, I have had things where, like the chocolate craving was gone in a matter of minutes. Mm. I know people who have used tapping to overcome a fear of flying in a matter of moments. For me, it took several years. I developed a fear of flying right. just prior to when I learned DFT. And there were a lot of things going on there. Now, there's also a lot of aspects. I had people when I was first learning EFT and talking about this issue, and people were saying,
no,
I don't think it's about flying. And so we may have upset responses to events and situations that aren't about the situation. So we, it may take some time to reveal what's really going on underneath the uncomfortable experience that we're having.
But the tapping, what you're doing is saying, I'm acknowledging that I'm feeling pretty bad at the moment and the level is X, Y, Z. I accept that that is what I'm feeling, but this is not how I choose to handle it. Psychotherapy, though, would go much deeper and start saying, but what really is bugging you?
Right. And so it's a combination of the two. Where the tapping is beneficial is because it's not just in our head. We feel it throughout our body. It's in our energy system. And so having this somatic component where we respond to what's going on in the body then can take the deep work of psychotherapy and make it that much more profound. It's sometimes called brief therapy. It may be years, so it's not as brief, but what might take 25 years in traditional therapy might take only five to 10 years, if even that. We can't set a time limit on different things because we don't know everything that's going on underneath.
Do you think that with COVID, as we're coming out of COVID around the world, here in the UK and there in America, and of course around the world, obviously not in India, but most places around the world, do you think that COVID has made people seek out alternative therapies such as yourself?
People have definitely been looking for ways to feel better. And I definitely tried to step up my work over the past year doing more Facebook and YouTube lives, trying to reach people with this because it is a great way to soothe the anxiety that was coming up for so many people. Mm. When the pandemic started, I said, you know, this may be EFT's moment.
There's going to be a lot of people out there who's going to say, where's proof, where's facts? I think it was in 2015, I think, or 2018, that there was a study with about 203 people, and they did show that this actually was getting good results. I mean, more studies are going on as we speak, really, aren't they?
There have been over 100 published studies now, most of them double-blind, gold standard research. I have friends with a couple of the people who have done some of these amazing studies on cortisol. So cortisol is one of the stress hormones, and it's a great way to measure someone's stress as opposed to just self-identifying, oh, on a scale of 0 to 10, I feel stressed at about a 7. But you can actually measure the cortisol in someone's body. And this study that has now been replicated where they take three groups. One is a control group. One is a group using another technique like breathing, deep breath, and the group doing tapping. In these studies, the group doing tapping, their cortisol levels dropped dramatically, some as much as 50%, and overall much higher than the other group. So we have that. My friend, Dr. Peter Stapleton in Australia, has done fMRI studies where you can take a brain scan and see the activity in the brain and then see how that changes after tapping. So there is really fantastic scientific validation of the effectiveness of this technique, and there's a growing body of research validating it.
Big question, Brad, but why not, hey?
Why not?
Do you think the world is a more stressed place?
You know, it's hard to say because you know, I could say, well, I'm more stressed than I used to be, but as I get older, I'm aware of more. As children, we're less stressed.
So true. You open your eyes. Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But also in the information age where we are constantly being bombarded by stressful messages, I think that there is a higher level of anxiety because there was a time when we were blissfully unaware of things that were going on around the world.
Yeah.
And now, constantly with news stories or just people's complaints And so much of the stuff on social media is of a negative nature and just a lot of people spewing anger. And that affects us more than we acknowledge. That's the problem, is that so often we don't acknowledge that and we're going along, you know, taking a shower once a month, thinking that we're not getting dirty. And yet that stuff, there's always an ambient level of stress and it gets spiked at different times far more often than I think it did before the information age started.
In the UK, suicide rates have been going up and with younger people and particularly men. And it seems to be that they are under such a lot of pressure to be part of the information age and to, you know, keep up with it and be always on, whether it be working from home and having scheduling software, checking what they're doing and all that sort of idea.
Yeah, suddenly I just had this image, I don't know if you ever saw A Clockwork Orange, and Malcolm McDowell, where they pry his eyelids open and force him to watch violent films.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, that's kind of how it is. And you have to keep your eyes open. You have to, if you're not aware of what's going on, if you're not paying attention, there's something wrong with you. And it's like, but it's painful. Well, suck it up.
It may not even be a violent thing. It's just a thing of just, I have to keep up with technology. I have to keep up with this and I have to keep up with that. Tapping is, well, basically you touch yourself. You know, you feel the hand, you feel the finger. It's all very tactile. Do you think that people around the planet are losing this tactile sensory sort of stuff that we used to have before the age that we're in at the moment?
Yes. Yes, because everything is so virtual now, and it's all in our eyes and our ears, and you know, like we're all walking around with VR glasses on. So many of us live our lives from the neck up.
Ah, how interesting!
And have lost touch with our body. It's like, okay, the body is not simply there to move your head around.
Right.
We're an entire being. And so this is literally being in touch with ourselves because we're so out of touch with ourselves.
Wow. Wow. You're right. It is getting back in touch with yourself.
Yeah.
It's a lot of affirmations as well. So it's very positive stuff. Now, I know that in the UK and Europe and around the world, people are going to be listening to you, Brad, and they're going to say, well, we know what they're going to say. Where can I watch this? Where can I find out more about this? Because this is sounding, wow, I want to be in touch. How do they get in touch?
Well, thank you, Jonathan. You can get in touch with me at tapwithbrad.com. And it's Tap with Brad on all the social media, Instagram and Facebook and YouTube. And hopefully I look forward to being able to literally be in touch with people. For the past decade, I have been back in London doing workshops every 2 years. And I haven't been able to do a workshop for over a year now. And I look forward to getting back and getting in touch with people, literally.
Brilliant. And we look forward to you coming back to the UK. So people, in a world where it is so difficult to always be in touch, but then through being in touch, you're not actually staying in touch with something which is more important. And that is in touch with your feelings, in touch with your emotions, and having a sense of control. It's not what happens to you, it's how you respond to what is happening to you. So if you want to do that, get in touch with Brad. Thank you once again, Brad.
Thank you.
And for everybody else, again, you know how to get in touch with him. Until next time, stay in touch with yourself and God bless. The magic touch. Oh, when I feel your charm, it's like a four alarm. You make me thrill so much. You've got the magic touch. Thought and Leaders is a Goodbye production. It is heard around the world.
but we can't continue broadcasting without your support. If you're interested in sponsoring the show or are looking for award-winning content, including strategy and coaching, please DM us or email reinvent@me.com. That's reinvent@me.com.
Too much. And then I felt your touch. And now I've learned I can return. Magic touch.